Good morning. That was beautiful worship. Well, it's good to be back, and it's really nice to not need a GPS to get here. Beautiful ride down this morning. Sunny, a little crisp, but if you have the right gear, it doesn't matter. And I had the right gear. I had my specially made Jewish helmet. I know it looks like a kippah, a yarmulke, but you see, I had this one specially made. It's Department of Transportation approved. Well, I was asked to come this morning and speak about something I know very little about. I know plenty about it in my head, but to be asked to talk about blessings, because our very best falls so woefully short of what he deserves. The most eloquent of us, the most articulate, cannot begin to adequately describe who he is. So in a sense, I've been sent on a fool's errand, but it's fitting. but I was asked to talk about blessings from a Jewish perspective. And of course, when it's from me, it's a messianic Jewish perspective because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, 30 years now. But I figured I'd humor you and give you a little bit of background on some of the Jewish blessings and what's behind it. The first thing to acknowledge would be from Psalm 24:1. We don't move on until we have this firmly established in our minds and our hearts. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Our lives, our homes, our cars, our accounts, whatever we think is ours. Did you know that in Hebrew there's no way to say, I own something? There's no way to say, I own something in Hebrew. The closest you can get to is yesh li, and then fill in the blank. There is to me a house. There is to me a car. There is to me a motorcycle. There is to me. In other words, the earth is the Lord's. Everything's on loan to us, which is why we should have, you know, whatever we have with an open hand. But the Hebrew word bless, the more I have thought about this, the more I appreciate it. The Hebrew word bless is barech. In the lexicon, it's barach, but barech, to bless. But do you know what that word actually means in Hebrew? To bend the knee. That's what barech means, to bend the knee. So when we're blessing the Lord, we're acknowledging his sovereignty. We're acknowledging his kingship over us. We're bending the knee. It can be in contrition. It can be in thankfulness. It can be in adoration. But in any case, to baruch, to bless, is in a sense to bend the knee. Doesn't mean we do it when Jewish people aren't doing it when they pray, but that's what the word baruch means, to bless, to bend the knee in reverence. But you know, there are passages in the scripture that talk about God blessing mankind in various ways. In fact, in the opening chapters of Genesis, after having created everything, it said God blessed the seventh day and set it apart. So it has a different meaning when it's God word directed from us to God. It conveys the idea of bending the knee. But when it's directed from God to mankind, he blessed the house of so-and-so, he has blessed this, it has to do with making fruitful and magnifying, to make big, to make fruitful, to prosper. So the word baruch or barech means to bless, but it means from us to bend the knee, from him to make fruitful and to prosper something. Now, it doesn't there's something that we don't quite have in our culture, that in the ancient Near East, in the ancient Middle East, in the ancient world, and that is the authority, the power, the binding nature of the spoken word. You know, and all of us know people who, if they just say, sure, I'll do that, you don't have to give it a second thought, right? I mean, we know people that are just, they're good for their word. Somebody says, yep, I'll be there. You don't even have to think twice. There's no need to make a reminder phone call, send an email. You're not having second thoughts. Just, you know, somebody says it, you know they're good. There's other people in this world that you'll sign 16 pages of legal contractual information and you're still not sleeping real well, right? See, we've lost something in the modern world that the ancient world understood, the power of the spoken word. More importantly for us, the binding nature of a spoken word. And see, in the ancient world, they understood that when somebody says something, whether it's taking a vow or averring something, attesting to the truth of something, it was just so powerful. It was considered binding. And in our courtrooms today, for example, people lie on the witness stand. And of course, it's a crime to do that. It's called perjury. Do you know how common it is, though? And what do? You get up in the witness stand and the officer of the court comes up with a Bible. Has you put your hand on the Bible and raise your right hand and swear that what you are about to speak is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Even that threefold affirmation just shows how prone we are to find a way to not quite tell the truth. And so we've lost the sense of the majesty, the power, the binding nature of the spoken word. But boy, the ancients totally understood it, which is why you have all of these proverbs about watch your tongue. Do not be quick to speak a word. Because they understood you're bound by that word. And it's something that we've lost in our own day and age. But the spoken word in the ancient world, it was expressive, it was emotive, but also it was considered final, it was considered binding, and so it had to be carefully considered. For example, let's take the issue of divorce. Today, to get divorced, you know, you have to hire an attorney, you have to fill out papers, you have to appear before the court. There's a rather lengthy process, and quite honestly, I'm glad it's a pain in the tuchus. Can I say that? A little Yiddish here. I'm glad it's a pain, because it should be discouraged. In the ancient world, do you know what it took to get divorced? All it took was to say three times, I divorce thee, I divorce thee, I divorce thee. That's all it took. The power of the word and taking of vows. So you can understand Jesus' teaching when he said, don't even make a vow. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Words also reflect the condition of the heart. Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, you know, out of what fills the heart, that's what the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance, the treasure in your heart, that's what your mouth speaks. So when we talk about blessings, it's all about the words that we speak to and about God and to each other about the things of God. We say to somebody who's been an encouragement to us, you are such a blessing to me. That's powerful. It's a word that should be carefully considered. And it's a wonderful thing to bless somebody. Of course, I had somebody tell me about 13 years ago, I had moved here in 97, and it was 1998, and this just a little story, part of a Christian motorcycle organization, and I didn't have a bike at the time. I had sold my last one, didn't have one, didn't have the money for one at the time. But, you know, I was still hanging out with my friends who rode. And this guy comes up to me at this meeting. He says, "Brother, I want to bless you. I have a motorcycle you can have. It only needs a little work." It needed a whole new wiring harness, which is not a huge part, but considering this bike was 20-something years old, it cost me almost $200 just for the wiring harness, just to get it running. Of course, then it needed a battery. And then there's the real problem, that is that I couldn't read a wiring diagram to save my life. I'm Jewish. That's my excuse. We're not real technical people. The Israelis are. I don't know, somehow American Jews, the VCR was blinking 12, you know. But the Israelis, they're on the cutting edge of technology. Well, this guy said, "I want to bless you." So he brings over this bike, very nice, not running, needs a wiring harness, because he tried to jumpstart it from a car. Maybe the guy with the car thought he was blessing him. Well, it turns out I think the guy was being nice, but at the same time, I think he was clearing out his garage. So what happened? That bike sat there because I bought the wiring harness, bought a new battery, but I didn't know how to run the wires, and I had the manual, but I can't make heads or tail of that. So I had this friend at our congregation. Now, here's what's funny. I don't know how to read a wiring diagram. He does. In fact, he's expert at it, but he's colorblind. And I've got green wires, but then I've got green wires with a yellow line, but then I've got brown wires, but brown wires with a red line, then I've got blue wires. I'm the one who can see the colors. He's the one who can read the schematic. It was crazy. And then he just like disappeared off the face of the earth, just left. And so I'm sitting there with a bike that's not running. So my father-in-law blessed me. He bought the bike off of me for the cost of what I had put into it in terms of buying stuff for it. And it's been sitting in his garage for 13 years. Shiny and beautiful and sitting there. And he can read a wiring diagram, but he'd rather sail his boat. So that's fine. That's fine. But we use the term very loosely sometimes. Oh, I want to bless you. We should be careful about our word. Now, in Jewish thought, the blessings within Judaism reflect this idea that God is part of everything in our lives. And I really like the fact that a proper understanding of Jewish thought and of Jewish blessings kind of does away with this idea of compartmentalization. We have it in our Western mindset that, you know, well, this is what I do on Sunday, and then, you know, the rest of the week, it's kind of a whole separate thing. Whereas the Jewish way of thinking, everything relates to God. The night I came to believe in Jesus 30 years ago in March, I remember the guy who was talking. This guy was a surfer. And he's talking about how he had really caught some tasty waves that morning. And he's thanking Jesus for getting into a tube. And I was thinking, what's God got to do with surfing? Because I had this wrong idea of, well, there's the religious thing, and then there's everything else. No, everything is his. Everything. We bless him. We give thanks to him in our eating. We give thanks to him in our playing. We give thanks to him in our singing. We give thanks to him in our hanging out, in our friendships. We give thanks to him lighting a fire in the fireplace. Everything should give him praise. So I like this, that the Jewish blessings reflect a holistic approach to God's involvement in all of our activities. And have you found this in your life where you went through periods of time where just everything kind of got on your nerves? You were just disgruntled quite a bit. I'm just actually now coming out of one of those phases, one of those periods of time where just everything was getting on my nerves. It didn't take a whole lot to just frazzle me, right? Because I had forgotten that contentment is a byproduct of thankfulness. if I'm thankful for the big and the little things and not taking any of it for granted, if I'm thankful, if I consciously thank God for the things, the people, the situations in my life, it actually leads to greater contentment. So the more I thank Him, the less I need to achieve contentment. So it's just a very beautiful thing. Now let's talk about a little bit about the structure of most Hebrew blessings. I don't have a PowerPoint or anything. And do any of you read Hebrew anyway? Good, okay, well, there you go. I can say anything now and you'll just believe me. No, I'm just kidding. But the structure of most Hebrew blessings has very similar beginnings. Just about every Hebrew prayer begins like this. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Almost every prayer starts that way. Jewish people who can't read Hebrew, who haven't been to synagogue in years, could still tell you, oh yeah, all the prayers begin. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Don't know what it means, but that's how we pray. It's kind of sad. But let's talk about this. These words, Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu, are an acknowledgement of a covenant relationship. Baruch, blessed be, the one who deserves my adoration, the one to whom I would bend the knee. Baruch atah, blessed are you, Adonai. Now, Adonai is how we say the word, but that's not how it reads in Hebrew. In Hebrew, it's a yod, a hey, a vav, and a hey. Some people say it Yahweh, some people say Jehovah. Fact is, we don't know the correct pronunciation. It was lost many, many, many centuries ago. And so out of respect, so as not to mispronounce the covenant name of God, Jewish people substituted the word Adonai, my Lord, my Lord. Baruch atana, blessed are you, O Lord. And then the word Eloheinu, from Elohim, God. Eloheinu means our God. So what's interesting is every Jewish prayer, every Hebrew prayer, begins with an acknowledgement of a covenant relationship. Blessed are you, O Lord our God. Now, Jewish people might think of it in very exclusivist terms. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, as in not anybody else's. Well, fact is, we can say, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, blessed are you, O Lord our God, right? Together, the people of God can say that. So every prayer is an acknowledgement of a covenant relationship. But then the prayer goes on. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Melech is the Hebrew word for king. Melech is king. So melech David, King David. Melech haolam. Olam, we translate typically universe. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. There isn't really a Hebrew word that quite translates universe. It really wasn't a thought that was cogent within ancient Judaism. Olam has to do with time. So, for example, whenever you're reading the scriptures, if you're in the Old Testament and you see the word forever, that word is olam. So what we're saying is, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all time. Almost as though King of eternity. So it's beautiful, these prayers. And it's sad that too often I and my people say these words without giving them their due thought. Blessed are you. I would bend the knee. I am thankful. O Lord, our God, the one who has brought us into a covenant relationship. King over all eternity. It's beautiful. Every prayer begins that way. Then the prayers go on. There are so many different Hebrew prayers. If I were to just start listing the ones I know, and they're, boy, let's fix that, shall we? If you ever want me to shut up, just tie my hands. I mean, just the prayers I know, and I'm not an Orthodox Jew, never have been, I don't pretend to be, But just if we were to just review the prayers, I know we could be here for several days and do this whole seminar. No, not planning on that. But what we do is after we acknowledge God's covenant relationship with us, we acknowledge his sovereignty over all the universe, then we begin to thank him, to bless him, to give praise to him for who he is, for the things he has done. So, for example, some of these prayers involve participles, the one who created, who creates all these things, or the one who does this. And some of them are a recitation of things that he has done in the past. So, for example, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. And here's one, Asher natan lanu Torat emet, who has given us the Torah, the instruction of truth. So sometimes we're thanking him for what he's given. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher bachar banu, the one who has chosen us. In fact, let me, I've got to make a correction here, bachar banu, not lanu. One of the most common prayers in the synagogue is what we call the Baruch, from Barach, to bless, right? And it goes like this. Baruch atah Adonai, blessed are you, O Lord, Eloheinu melech haolam, our God, the King of the universe, asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim, who has chosen us from all peoples, v'natan lanu et torato, and has given us your Torah, your instruction. Now think about that. When Jewish people in synagogues all over the world pray that prayer every Sabbath in the synagogue, it's prayed just before the Torah is opened up and read. In Hebrew, which just means for most American Jews, they're hearing Hebrew and it's all lovely and they don't know what they're hearing. If any of you are from a Catholic background, do you ever go to a Latin Mass? How much Latin do you know, right? In any case, but then that prayer goes on, Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us your Torah. Now, what Jewish people mean by that is you chose us from all the peoples in the world. You chose us and gave us your Torah. Now, that's true. He did choose Israel to be the nation, the most unlikely of nations, yet he gave Israel his Torah, and as a result, Israel enjoyed, when they were obedient, great success in spite of their small numbers. In spite of being least likely to succeed in all the earth, he gave us his Torah and we enjoyed success. But you know, if I were to pray it that way, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us your Torah, I have an ethical problem with that in the present dispensation. Can I say that here? I don't know if I'm among dispensationalists or covenantalists or whatever. So here's how I mean it when I pray it every Shabbat at Congregation Shema Yisrael. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and has given us your Torah, your instruction. See, the rabbis say if the Gentiles, if they tell you there's wisdom among the Gentiles, believe. If they tell you there's Torah among the Gentiles, disbelieve. In other words, there's this exclusivity going on that he gave us the Torah, nobody else. Meanwhile, the average American Jewish person can't be bothered to crack open that book. Couldn't tell you the first thing about the Torah. All they can tell you is it's ours. Oh, great, I own a book. Never read it. Haven't a clue what's in there. Let's see. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There you go. And that's about all that most Jewish people can tell you. But when I pray that prayer, I have infused it with a whole different meaning, completely apart from what the rabbis ever intended who wrote that prayer. Because that prayer actually isn't in anywhere in the Bible. It's a rabbinical prayer. So it's got value, but it's not scripture. So when I say, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and has given us your instruction. See, I rejoice that he has taken us from all peoples, that men and women from every tribe and tongue and people and nation have been brought together in Jesus the Messiah. It's wonderful. Another way of praying, and there's a lot of prayers associated with eating, which doesn't mean that Jewish people eat any differently or like to eat. Well, we love to eat, but we all love to eat, don't we? I love to eat. And there's all these different prayers associated with meals. For example, did you know that within Judaism, you pray before the meal and you pray after the meal? And it's all based on these words in Deuteronomy, "Beware lest when you enter the land and you eat and are satisfied, you forget the Lord." So it is Jewish custom to pray both before and after a meal. And with this idea of Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the Jewish teaching, the idea there is, it's all his, and so before we partake, in a sense, we're asking permission. That's the Jewish understanding. I don't really see it that way in terms of I have to ask him permission, because he's given it. When somebody gives you something wonderful, you don't ask permission to partake in it. You say, thank you. So I see it as more of a thankfulness and acknowledgement of what he has. But there's all these different prayers for eating. Oh my goodness. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. But what if you're not having bread with your dinner? Don't worry, we got a prayer for that too. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam shehakol nihyeh bidvaro. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, at whose word all things came into being. So, bore mine mizonot. Maybe you're not having bread, but you're having rice or some other grain. So thanking him for other kinds of grains, the many kinds of grains. But going along with the prayer, Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz, who brings forth bread from the earth, is another very common prayer. And that ends with the words, Bore pri hagafen, the one who creates the fruit of the vine. And so the blessing over the bread, the blessing over the cup. For example, when at our congregation we have communion together, we pray that prayer over the bread, we pray that prayer over the cup, thanking God for both the bread from the earth, but now when we pray it over at Shema, we add a little phrase that you'll never hear in any other synagogue, of the other synagogues. Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz, who brings forth bread from the earth, v'lechem ha'emet, lechem ha'chai min ha'shamayim, and who has given us the true and living bread from heaven. So we pray it at Shema. So there are many prayers. We thank him for who he is. We thank him for the things he has done. But there are also prayers connected with performing his commandments. And so it'll start the same way. Baruch atah Adonai, blessed are you, O Lord. Eloheinu melech haolam, our God, the King of the universe, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav, who set us apart, who sanctified us by his commandments. In other words, he gave Israel this law, this Torah, vitzivanu, and commanded us, and then fill in the blank. In fact, there are prayers for things that he never commanded us. Now, at my house, you don't come to the dinner table if you haven't washed your hands, because Mrs. Harris will make sure that you go wash your hands. She'll always, did you wash your hands? She has to ask me sometimes. And sometimes, no. There's a prayer for washing your hands. Asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al netilat yadayim, who has commanded us to concerning the washing of hands. Where does it say that in the Torah? It doesn't. But there's prayers for everything. And you know, you kind of chuckle at it, and yet at the same time, there's this idea that every activity in life, you cannot compartmentalize it and pretend that this particular thing has nothing to do with God. And I really appreciate that. Here are a couple of frequently invoked blessings. When you come to a joyful time in your life, or in your family's life, or in the life of the community, a very common prayer, and it starts the same way, Baruch Atah Adonai. You guys are going to know these prayers by the time we're done, all right? In fact, let's try a little exercise. Baruch Atah Adonai. Eloheinu. Melech Ha'olam. Okay, good. Now this one, to express joy and thankfulness for the season that we're in, goes like this. Shehechianu v'kimanu v'higianu lazman hazeh. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you say that. I hear somebody going, you got to be kidding me. Who has kept us in life and sustained us and enabled us to reach this season. Even thanking him for the season that we're in. Thanking him for maybe my son is now having his bar mitzvah. It's a joyful time. It's a major milestone in a Jewish boy's life. Or a wedding. Or the high holidays. We're coming up on the Jewish high holidays. The 28th of this month will be the Feast of Trumpets. So we're coming up on that. And it's a wonderful time. It's solemn, but it's also joyful. And so we say the Shehechianu. When we come to holidays like Purim, the Feast of Esther, right? When Haman tried to have us annihilated, and he didn't succeed. And so we say the Shehechianu. You've kept us alive. You've sustained us, enabled us to reach this season. In fact, between the Shehechianu, the thanking God for keeping us and bringing us to the season, and the various blessings over the food, and there are so many, here's how you sum up Jewish history in a nutshell. Ready? They tried to kill us. We won. Let's eat. We have a number of different prayers thanking God for the word, for the scriptures. One of them is called Etz Chaim. Etz means tree. Chaim is life, the tree of life. And it's borrowed from Proverbs. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. All her paths are peace. And then we say, cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we will return. Renew our days as of old. There's another prayer at the time frequently at our congregation when we're going to read the scriptures called Ki Mitzion. Ki mitzion tetzei Torah, for out of Zion will come forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Beautiful prayers. Sometime Dunning Park, y'all ought to send a delegation over to Shema on a Saturday morning and just experience these things firsthand. Another one is called Or Chadash. Or is light. Chadash is new. And so we have this prayer, Or Chadash, and forgive my croaking, but it goes like this. Or Chadash, Al Tzion Ta'ir, V'nizkehu lanu mehera le'oro, mehera le'oro. Cause a new light to shine upon Zion. And may we be worthy to delight in its splendor. Blessed are you, O Lord, creator of the lights. Isn't that beautiful? All these prayers, thanking God for the scriptures. It's sad to me that my people, my Jewish people, are known as the people of the book. And the average Jewish person you're going to meet doesn't know the first thing about this book. I want to sum up with two things. The first is I'd like to invite you to open to Daniel chapter 9. And what I want to do here is I just want to give an example of a prayer, a blessing, the two words are often interchangeable, that is one of the most honest prayers I ever encountered. Daniel chapter 9, beginning at verse 4, is it? No, I'm sorry. Yeah, Daniel chapter 9, beginning at verse 4. What's going on? Daniel in Babylon has been reading the prophecy of Jeremiah. So much for those who argue that Jeremiah wrote it really late. Well, if he wrote it so late, how's Daniel reading it in Babylon? He's reading Jeremiah's prophecy about 70 years would be the length of our captivity. And he realizes it's been 70 years. And so he makes this petition to God. Verse 4. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. It's an acknowledgement of who he is and what he's like. And he goes on, we have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly and rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. Moreover, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. This is so honest. This from a man who, by all accounts in Scripture, was one of the most righteous men who ever lived. You know, you look at the book of Daniel, and any references to Daniel, and he's always accounted as one of the righteous men in all of Israel's history. Now, this is not false modesty on his part. He's not praying, oh Lord, we have sinned, we have done iniquity, we have acted wickedly, we've turned aside from you. He's not saying this, but really thinking in his heart, well, all of them, not me. He knows. He's part of this nation, and he knows his own sin, and he confesses right along with Israel. Now, there were a lot of Jewish people in Babylon. We start thinking, oh, it was just Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But our people went by the hundreds of thousands captive into Babylon. So when Daniel and his friends decided not to eat the unkosher food of the king, well, what were all the other Jewish people doing? They were eating the unkosher food of the king. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down to this 90-foot-tall idol, what were the other hundreds of thousands of Jewish people doing? They were bowing down. And yet Daniel is so honest here. He includes himself. I have sinned too. We have sinned. He identifies with the nation. Goes on at verse 7. Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us open shame as it is this day. To the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel, those who are nearby and those who are far away in all the countries to which you've driven them because of their unfaithful deeds which they've committed against you. Open shame belongs to us, O Lord, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong compassion and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. Nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his teachings which he set before us through his servants the prophets. Indeed, all Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, not obeying your voice. So the curse has been poured out on us. What curse is he talking about? Anybody know offhand what curse he's talking about? It's found in Deuteronomy chapters 26 through 28. When we went into the land, he said, I want these tribes to stand on Mount Gerizim, these tribes on Mount Ebal, and I want the tribes on Mount Ebal to pronounce the curses. This is what's going to happen if you don't obey my Torah. And the blessings on Mount Gerizim, if you will keep my commandments, if you will obey my Torah, all of these blessings will accrue to you. Well, you know what's interesting? The blessings occupy 14 verses. The curses, 54 verses. God knew that we were going to break covenant with him. And so he sent us into exile. And the curse Daniel is referring to is that promise, if you will not obey my commandments and my decrees, you will go into exile. You will suffer. But he also promised within that covenant that he would bring us back. Let's go on. Verse 12. Thus he has confirmed his words which he had spoken against us and against our rulers who ruled us, to bring on us great calamity, for under the whole heaven there has not been done anything like what was done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come on us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquity and giving attention to your truth. Therefore the Lord has kept the calamity in store and brought it on us, for the Lord our God is righteous with respect to all his deeds which he has done, but we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who have brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself as it is this day, we have sinned, we have been wicked, O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts. Let now your anger and your wrath turn away from your city Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all those around us. So now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplications. And for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits of our own, but on account of your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action for your own sake. O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. A genuine Jewish prayer, a genuine blessing, acknowledges who he is and who we are. God willing, next week, I'm going to share with you what I consider to be the pinnacle of all blessings, the Aaronic blessing from Numbers chapter 6. God willing, next week. Will you join me in prayer? Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu hadvarim shel habrit hachadasha. Baruch ata Adonai, noten habrit hachadasha. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the words of the new covenant, the New Testament. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of this new covenant. We thank you, Lord our God, that you are the same yesterday and today, yes and forever. You are gracious and forgiving. Lord, we thank you for everything that we have, everything that we are. We thank you most of all for who you are and all the great and mighty things that you have done. Help us, Lord God, to be a people ready to bend the knee and to bless you. Help us to be a people whose eyes are open to see the blessings that you have poured out on us. Help us to be a contented, thankful people. We thank you for this morning, the time of worship, the time of learning, and our fellowship together. Please go with us. B'shem Yeshua Moshichenu, Adonenu Sar Shalom. In the name of Jesus, our Messiah, our Lord, the Prince of Peace. Amen.